Welcome back. I'm Paula Gordon. Bill Russell and I are talking with David Halberstam. We are talking specifically about a great moment in a large democracy that has many great moments ahead.
Not quite like this one, though. It has some ahead, but boy, this is an extraordinary defining moment because it's really a citizen moment. It's not, Lyndon Johnson. It's not Lyndon Johnson doing something or John Kennedy doing something or the Senate passing a bill. It's ordinary people, the nobility of ordinary people. People, again, let me repeat the phrase, not favored by their circumstance of their birth. When these people had so little clout, and they couldn't call a congressman. Their parents didn't know congressmen. When Diane Nash, have so little money that when Diane Nash sends the Freedom Riders out in 1961, after the Klan has burned the buses and almost killed some people, including Hank Thomas, who now owns some McDonald's here in Atlanta, who's one of the heroes of the book. Diane does something revolutionary. She gets a second phone line at their headquarters. Amazing. Two phone lines, a separate line, so that they could call in if they're in danger. I mean, this is how primitive and simple it is.
And it is worth saying some people did die. This isn't just that they risked their lives.
Some
many did.
These
did
particular
give their
people
lives.
Didn't. But it was done at the, Jim
Bevel. This was the real thing.
Jim Bevel, one of the people I write about, who's quite brilliant. Creative mind. I think maybe the most creative mind in the movement. Jim Bevel, very early on, at the moment when they're about to go on the Freedom Ride, and the older ministers really are nervous about these kids doing it because they think they're going to be killed, and they don't want the responsibility of sending other people's children to their death. Bevel comes up with a very interesting theorem. They've won the lunch counter thing in Nashville. But that's a border state, relatively genteel. And what Bevel says is, if we want to do this thing, it can't be done with doing gentle things in a genteel state. It can only be done by taking risks. We have to go to the most dangerous venues, Birmingham, Selma, Mississippi, any place in Mississippi, in the Delta in Mississippi. And we have to put our bodies on the railroad tracks to lure the beast of segregation out. If we take risks and we go to these dangerous places, the beast will come to the surface, the journalists will cover us, will report on us, and the government will have to take notice, and the country will sit there and it will see the price of its good, comfortable life is based upon racism. And that was the theory. In other words, if we want to change things, the only way we do it is by risk. And he was right. And that is what happened. It came to pass.
Go ahead.
Isn't that the point of democracy? I mean, I'm looping back around talking about an entertainment economy, which frequently looks like a spectator economy. And we've sort of gotten ourselves, I think, in the mindset of waiting for government to do something, of looking to Congress or somebody else to provide leadership.
Or charismatic leader. Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
but
why isn't Jesse Jackson a more charismatic? Why doesn't Jesse do something? It can't be done by, one of the things that Diane Nash said, we had a reunion about a week ago at Fisk, and all these young people, they're not so young anymore, came back. And Diane said, the great problem is that people think you wait for a charismatic leader like Martin King.
Exactly.
But it wasn't just Martin Luther King. I mean, he was at the head of this broad citizen movement, and the movement didn't come together because he was charismatic. It came together because of an urgent need and a passionate desire and a deep abiding faith.
That is precisely what I'm trying to, when I say we have more great moments ahead of us, we are a democracy. We have this astonishing force that has sort of been latent for a while. But if people can begin to understand that you don't wait for the great guy to come tell you how to do it, or woman, that it does come, a democracy is by virtue of its being, that the power comes from the people.
Well, that's why I called the book The Children. I mean, this is a remarkable moment, and it's being led by young people who are children, 18, 19, 20 years old, who are tired of waiting. There's a moment right when they're deciding whether or not to take on the Freedom Rides, which are incredibly dangerous. The Ku Klux Klan has virtually taken over in Alabama. And John Lewis says, in his very simple way, if not us, who? If not now, when? And then he says something extraordinary. I said, John, how did you do it? come on, I mean, you bunch of kids. Well, he said, we had faith. And I said, you know, John, faith? He said, yes, tell me. I said, tell me. He said, well, we had faith in Jim Lawson, who had taught us, faith in our God, faith in each other that we would not let each other down. And then he paused and smiled, and faith in a country which had never done anything for us.
Oh, my.
Well, there's an act of faith.
Great faith.
And it changed that country.
Well, I think it were demonstrably better country. I mean, we're hardly complete. I mean, you start looking at the scar, the dark shadow of slavery, and you realize, if you go to the movie Amistad, which is not a great movie, but it's there's an hour in there of the slave trade and the slave ship, which is so devastating that you can't see it and not feel stunned that the forebears of your country, the forebears of this democracy, were participants in this pernicious evil system. And you know, even as you see it, that it's going to take lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes to undo the damage.
On taking these as predicates, and I'm curious, are there heroes today? What would a hero look like, given where we are?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I have this sort of faith in this country that it sorts itself out. You know, I've lived through the Depression. I've lived through World War II. I'm old enough to remember the summer of 41 and the spring of 42 when all the news in the war was bad. I mean, it was nothing but German victories and Japanese victories. I can remember a citizen movement to end the war in Vietnam, which over a period of time was successful. I can remember these young people starting out to change things in the South and seeing how frail they were, and then seeing them and their allies and colleagues eventually triumph. I have a great kind of faith in the common sense of the people of this country. I mean, even now when we were talking a little bit earlier about the Lewinsky scandal and the dopiness, I thought, or the lack of priorities of much of the Washington press corps. The country's being better than the political system, and the country's being better than the press corps at this moment. It may not like Bill Clinton. I think Bill Clinton's good poll ratings are a fraud. I don't think he's that popular at this moment. But people don't like his enemies. They don't like Mr. Starr. They don't like the varying cast of characters that has assembled around them, whether it's Paula Jones, her blonde attorney that seems to be using her for political reasons. They don't like Miss Tripp, who tapes Miss Lewinsky. They don't particularly like Miss Willie. And I don't think they like Sam Donaldson and his colleagues in Washington for over-reporting this. I think the country is shrewder and better than both the political system and the journalistic system. So I have this, one of the things that I think I noted in the book, if you do this as long as I've been doing it, it's 43 years now, you don't do it unless you have a certain faith in the nobility of ordinary people and the common sense of ordinary people. I have that, and I have a feeling that the country sorts itself out. I mean, I think there'll be a way in the economy eventually that we won't have these huge discrepancies that some people are making so much while so many people in the middle class are now feeling so squeezed. I mean, this singular need to drive the stock up at an almost inhuman human cost.
We're going to be back in just a moment with a couple more minutes with David Halberstam. This is the Paula Gordon Show. We hope you'll stay with us.